So recently, Artemis 1 was launched, and this is pretty historic because it's making its journey to the moon, and it's also putting on a light show in the early morning skies in the process. Joining us, though, to help us understand how important Artemis 1 is with NASA, we have Josh Frey. He's the chief of Cleveland Human Exploration and Space Operations. Josh, how are you this morning? Whoops, Josh, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
Good. How about you? I'm doing well this morning.
Hey, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. I understand this is a huge time for NASA and Artemis. How exciting is this at the John Glenn Research Center there?
Yeah, you got it. It's a big deal for us. We've been working on it for a number of years, almost 10 years if you look back at the last few efforts here, and we're finally in space. The mission's going on right now, as you said, and so far things are going pretty well too. We're working through a few little minor issues, but really the mission's going really, really well, and it's been an exciting few days for us for sure.
For anyone listening, Josh, who isn't familiar with what Artemis 1 is, can you share that with them so they know exactly what the purpose is to send Artemis 1 to the sky?
Yeah, good question there. This is a test flight for us. It's really the biggest rocket launch for NASA in the last 50 years, really since Apollo and the Saturn V rocket 50 plus years ago. But it's our first flight with this new system. So it's a new rocket. It's a new spacecraft on the top of the rocket, and lots of new systems all throughout the whole vehicle. So it's a test flight. There's no humans on board. We're going to really push this flight. It's got a real challenging mission that we're doing right now. But we're also getting ready for the next mission, Artemis 2, which will have humans on board. That mission's really well underway. The pieces are being put together right now and integrated down in Florida and doing their final testing. And in a few years, we'll have that. But we'll have that Artemis 2 mission, which will have people on board. And then the third one will deliver humans back to the surface of the moon. So, 50 plus years in the making, we're finally getting back to the surface. Lots of neat science and neat places to explore there. Some new places, lots of discoveries that are yet to be made there. And we're finally getting back to the surface of the moon. So that mission, Artemis 3, will bring the first woman to the surface of the moon as well, and possibly the first person of color. They're still working on the crew plans there, but really exciting stuff for the U.S. and for the international team involved. But back to Artemis 1, like you said, this is the ongoing mission. We're testing all our systems. We're learning about them in space. We can analyze them with computers and really try to understand them on the ground, but there are certain things we can only test in space. So, there's the vacuum of space, the lack of any air in space itself, the thermal conditions are really unusual. And another big part of the test that we're looking into and hoping to test on the way back to the Earth is the reentry. So the capsule, the spacecraft that comes back to the Earth that will have the people in it, we want to test the heat shield and make sure it survives reentry. It's a pretty aggressive very high speed entry back into the atmosphere here. And we want to make sure that works before we put humans back on this rocket here in a few years. So, like I said, it's a test flight. We're learning a lot, but we're seeing the numbers that are different and confirming a lot of our numbers already. I think it's been really great so far in the first few days of the mission.
Yeah, so this is a 26-day journey, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So we launched a few days ago now, I think 4 or 5 days, we made it out to the moon. We potentially went to the first closest pass of the moon yesterday, and pictures are starting to show up online from that and some video as well. Just like you said, so we'll launch. We launched on the 16th, I believe, and got out to the moon, and then we'll spend a few days here in orbit. And it's a really unusual orbit. It's kind of essentially a backwards orbit, and it gives us a way to really test out our systems even harder and get further out than we ever have with a human spacecraft before out into space. And then we'll come back around again, go back past the moon very closely, and then we'll come back towards the Earth. The planned landing, right, like you said, is about 26 days total. December 11th, I think, is a planned landing right now, back into the Pacific Ocean off the coast of California there. So we're still early on in the mission, but a lot of the big challenges we've overcome already, and we're excited to be close to the moon and really seeing how things work out in that environment.
How does this help NASA? How does this help science, Josh, if you don't mind answering? Because people are thinking, well, I'm not me, but I'm just sure that there's people who's skeptics out there, and they're saying, oh, well, why are we wasting all this money to send Artemis up to the sky just to take pictures? You know, why aren't there humans on board right now? Can you explain that to the people in the back who maybe don't fully understand that?
No, absolutely. We get all kinds of questions, and they're all fair questions, and that's part of our job to make sure we understand and communicate them all the benefits here. So, absolutely, there's a number of budget challenges out there, and NASA is one cost among others there. So first of all, part of it is pure exploration. It's taking humans further out than ever before, going to new parts of the moon. One of the areas we're primarily looking at on the moon is the South Pole. We've never been anywhere near there on the moon. There's potentially water ice there, so there's actually potentially water, and some really neat places from the scientific perspective. So that's part of it, is getting out to new parts of the moon. But secondly is enabling us to go further out beyond even that. And we've talked about getting humans to Mars. I think that's a possibility in our lifetimes. I think the technology we're demonstrating on this mission and the future missions will get us that much closer, just like the space station and other things have so far. But that's part of it. So it's exploration, it's science, it's learning more about how the Earth was made and really how to take care of the Earth and stuff like that. And then the other part of it is, there are huge spinoffs from NASA. NASA, provides both financial impact to the Northeast Ohio area and Ohio in general, and NASA in general. It's very good for the U.S. in terms of the industry and employment and really high technology that's developed here. There's a number of spinoffs that we use every day, everything from GPS to cell phones to the computers and other things like that that had their a lot of their early development on NASA and related missions like that. So a number of different benefits there from NASA. Again, for this mission itself, this is the first test flight. This will help us get to the human mission, which is the next mission, and then finally get people out to the moon again after 50 years. Again, a lot of different benefits and really an exciting time to be part of NASA. We're finally getting all the hard work of the last 10 plus years into space and really seeing a nice successful mission so far.
That sounds great. And one thing that I want to note is you said in your lifetime, in our lifetime, you believe that there's the possibility to have humans step foot on Mars. Now, when that happens, I'm confident it'll happen because you seem confident it will happen. So, Josh, when that happens, do you think that will be as big of a historic moment as it was the first time that a human stepped foot on the moon?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it'll be pretty exciting. The moon is exciting, and to see humans back on the moon again, even that will be very, very good. We'll have better cameras, better data, and just it'll be, in my opinion, just for all of us to see alive, people that weren't alive back in the late 60s and early 70s there. I think that would be great. But like you said, for Mars, I think that's it's up to each person there. But again, to get someone on another planet, I think would be hugely exciting. To finally see a planet that's, to be honest, relatively similar to the Earth. I mean, obviously there's huge differences there, and has a carbon dioxide atmosphere. But we've seen all kinds of geological similarities on Mars. We've seen some things recently that really look like places on the Earth here, some very imaginative people talk about what they call terraforming Mars. Now that's maybe it's down the road a little bit, but essentially being able to live on Mars itself and survive there and sustain life out there. We've seen movies on that topic as well. But the bottom line is, I think to get people on another planet is pretty exciting and would be great to do. It's a huge challenge, even compared to getting back to the moon. It's further away, obviously. It's got some, you know, huge temperature swings like the moon and other challenges, the carbon dioxide atmosphere. But there are some things that really make it pretty exciting. We've had, you know, some great successes with the rovers on Mars, and there's still more to come there. We're in the planning stage now to finally get Martian rocks back to the Earth. We're capturing those core samples right now, and we're getting them ready. And then one of the missions here in the next few years, we'll get the rocket that will actually take those core samples back to the Earth, and we'll finally get some Mars rocks back on the surface of the moon, surface of the Earth to study here. Here on the Earth. So again, some pretty exciting times, whether we go to the moon, whether we go to Mars and other places, and also spin off those technologies back to Earth here. It's a great time to be part of the team and part of NASA and watching it happen.
Wow. I mean, that is just, you know, like a mouthful for you to get out of so much stuff happening. I want to ask real quick before we go, Josh, is there anything else, any other projects that are either in the works or maybe in action right now that you think it's important for myself and our listeners to know about?
Yeah, there's too much for a short phone call here, but I'll say another part of NASA, you know, it's the other A in NASA, it's the aeronautics side, and that's a huge part for us here in Cleveland and the Northeast Ohio area. The NASA facility here in Cleveland, NASA Glenn Research Center, actually started as an aircraft engine research facility back in the World War II time frame. It was actually before NASA was even established. It was NACA back then. And we still do some groundbreaking research in that area. And every aircraft you fly on has technology from those research efforts there. Some of the things we're working on now include cleaner aircraft and more efficient aircraft. We're looking at hybrid aircraft, like you would think of a hybrid electric car. We're doing that research now and working on demonstrations there. We have teams working on supersonic aircraft again, working with other NASA centers. And also hypersonic, which is, you know, much, much faster than the speed of sound. So some really great stuff on the aircraft side as well. And there's a lot of expertise, and it really does impact all of Northeast Ohio and Ohio in general. And then finally, you know, we have a great test facility out in the Sandusky area, a little further away, where we've tested the mission that, you know, the actual hardware that's in space right now. We tested it a few years ago, right actually over this holiday period, if I remember right. And then it'll actually come back to that area to test again in the next year or so once we land the mission back on the ground. So a great test facility, that's the Armstrong test facility out in near Sandusky there. So again, the impact for the Northeast Ohio and like I said, Ohio in general is huge. It's not just this one space mission, but it's many, many different things that impact the people that work in NASA, but also, you know, the region and the industry around the area and really the entire state of Ohio. We just had a meeting with Ohio State the other day on some work and had a great partnership discussion there. We regularly work with Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton and many other places. And it's just it's a great place to be right now, exciting, and we're hoping to have a good rest of our mission here up in space with the Artemis 1 mission.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on. Josh Frey with NASA, the John Glenn Research Center in Cleveland. Thank you so much for taking the time. This is very exciting. The pictures look great, and we're looking forward to getting another update from you in the near future. Josh Frey, you have a great day, sir.
Thanks. You too, Jordan. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you soon.